Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, we are here. It is Friday morning. Gil is off for one more day. You are stuck with me for the final day. It's been a great week filling in here on the show. I'm Jared Smith. This is one of my favorite shows to fill in for. Not just because of the timing, but also just the fact that it's the morning. I love the morning. To me, it's kind of when all the stars align. It's when you get your ducks in a row for the day. We got Wyatt Tomchek here with us as well. Crack producer, doing a great job this week as well.
I do not love the mornings.
Why don't you like the mornings?
I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. Born and raised here in Vegas, so it's like, you know, we live in the night.
But the sun, like, for those that are unaware, when you wake up early in Vegas and you catch the sunrise, it's the prettiest sunrise, I think, in the country that I've seen. I haven't seen every sunrise in every state, but the desert and just how hot it gets during the day. But in the morning, like when I go walk the dog, when I do this show, I walk my dog around 5:30. It's still relatively dark. And usually it's 110 degrees most days. It's like 85, and it's like the perfect temperature. I don't know. There's something about the morning that just gets me all.
Well, yeah, it's the only time that it's cool. But
it's the only time that it's cool.
To answer your question about the sunrise, yeah, it's great if it's not blinding me while I'm trying to drive into work.
Yeah, you got to be cool with that. All right, speaking of blinding, we thought we had an opener last night in the NFL, a preseason opener that got derailed by weather, not the sun, but the lack of sun because of rain. Apologies and thoughts and prayers to anyone who had an over ticket like me last night. You basically won at halftime, and you didn't get rewarded for your win because most sports books have the 55-minute rule, which states the game has to go 55 minutes before they can cash totals. I think it's totals only. I think sides, certain books will cash early, but totals for sure they won't. So I got voided on my over last night. If you got paid on it, great, good for you. Most likely most of you were voided. Or as we say in the Marvel world, sent to the void, right? After the Deadpool, you saw Deadpool last night, you enjoyed it?
Yes, so I saw none of the Hall of Fame game. I was waiting patiently to watch Deadpool Wolverine, which I recommend. Great movie.
Yeah,
don't take your kids to it, but for the adults, it was a great movie.
Yeah, don't take your kids unless they like blood and violence and cursing and all things that are R-rated. I did dabble in the first half. And then I went out for dinner, and I was at half. When I went out at halftime, I'm like, "Oh, we're good, money in the bank, baby." And then, of course, I pull up my phone after dinner, and I'm like, "How come there's no more money in my account? How come there's not money in my account than when it was?" The rain happens. Don't be mad. Let's leave it at this. There is a story today that you can be upset with at the sports books. Don't be mad about the sports books for getting voided last night. If it states it in the house rules that the game has to be played 55 minutes and the NFL doesn't have the foresight enough to know that the rain's coming and start the game an hour early so they can get the full thing in, they clearly didn't care about playing the full 60 yesterday. And I'm assuming both coaches were probably happy to kind of move on with their lives and their schedules, as this is an extra game on the preseason calendar for both of them. So we move onward from that. But there is a big story circulating the sports gambling world this morning. It actually started yesterday, and it was reaffirmed this morning. But DraftKings is taking a very unique approach to dealing with what's been a headwind for the industry over the last few years, which is a ridiculously high tax rate in some of the biggest grossing states, the biggest culprit being New York, with their absurd behemoth albatross of a 51% tax rate. Well, yesterday a story kind of got leaked or kind of got put out there in the sphere that DraftKings was going to try to offset some of those taxes by taxing winning bets in those high tax states, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, I believe Illinois also on the list, Vermont, another one of those states with a ridiculously high tax rate. Well, obviously that was met with a lot of upset people. Twitter X was up in arms yesterday, including me. I think it's an atrocious way to kind of pass through what has been a very expensive venture for a lot of these sports books, which is operate in states with really high tax rates. I think there's a certain level of New York where the operators just have to admit defeat. You are not going to be profitable if there's a high tax rate. It's really hard. And obviously we've now had 2 years of New York's market online, and the results have been, I would say, timid because of the ridiculously high tax rate. Well, what DraftKings is going to do is they are going to charge bettors 3 to 5% on each winning bet. So what does that mean? Well, you make a bet. When you look at your ticket after the bet is made, you see what you risked and what your payout will be. Well, you'll still see that, but on the bottom line, kind of like a bill, when you get a hotel bill and you see like the service fee or the convenience fee or the bed fee, whatever ridiculous fees they put on the hotel bills these days, you'll just see a line item on your ticket that says service charge or whatever tax, and it'll be 3 to 5% deducted from your winning ticket. So let's say you make a $100 bet at even odds, 100 to win 100. It'll say 100 to win 97.50, 3.5% off of it, or 2.5% off of it. 3% would be 97. So that's kind of where we're at this morning. DraftKings CEO Jason Robbins, this is from Ryan Butler, who does great work covering the industry for Covers, tweeted that the CEO Jason Robbins reaffirmed the strategy behind the winning bet tax on today's earning call, that the product, this is where he lost me. The product is so good that bettors will be willing to pay the 3 to 5%.
That's when you hear that, you're just kind of like, that's just like, you know, these big higher-ups are making a ton of money. Just like, come on, dude. Like, I feel like you're out of touch with the common people here. It's like, for me personally, Jared, I only bet. I mean, I bet for fun, like $20.
But now you're only going to win 18.
Yeah, it's like, I'm getting taxed on that.
Yes.
For a $40 win.
Not you, because you're in Nevada. But well, if you lived in New Jersey or New York, you would.
Yeah. So yeah.
And most people are like you. Most people that bet on these sports books, the bigger box shops especially, I would say 95 to 98% of the you know, the people who bet are like Wyatt. $20, $50 on a Sunday, watching some games. It's not a significant amount of money, but for him to say that the product is so good, the product, for me, the product is only as good as the price. To me, price and product are the same thing. If your product is so good, it's a tough pill, and one of many reasons I'm glad I don't live in New York anymore, it's a tough pill to swallow for the average Joe. That's where I think this is going to become. And to be fair to DraftKings, it might not be the only shop that does this. Right now they are. We haven't heard from FanDuel yet. We might. August is their earnings call in a couple weeks. MGM Caesars, my guess is they won't, because they have the land-based casino operations that FanDuel and DraftKings don't. I would be willing to bet that MGM and Caesars does not do this. But this is a big, I would call it, checkpoint to the sports betting experiment in America. It started in 2019. Basically, it was the Wild West. States were popping up. New Jersey technically went online at the middle part of 2018, basically right when PASPA was repealed. Credit to Chris Christie and his team. They were ready to go with that legislation right away in 2018. Then, obviously, the market kind of evolved a little bit. The first year was the Wild West, literally the Wild West. Then COVID hit, and I think COVID, frankly, was an accelerant to the sports betting industry. But once New York got activated, that was a massive day, because it was one of the biggest states in our union, biggest city, number one market, finally opening its doors to this. And I remember when that story broke, The entire question revolving what was going to was all around the tax rate. How much were these books going to be charged for operating in a state as premium as New York? And when we heard 51%, we're like, oh man, that is not a sustainable business model. I don't know how these books are going to make money. Well, 2 years later, they haven't. And now they are passing that through to you, the average Joe better. You're going to have to now, and this is going to start in January. You will have to pay this tax this football season, January 1st, 25. Good luck being profitable. It's already hard enough to make money in this racket over the long haul. And let's be honest, you're watching this show, you're involved in this space, you're not betting for a weekend and then going away. Like, this is your lifestyle. This is what you do every day. Every day, this tax will continue to accumulate and add up. It will be met with one of the stiffest stiff arms in the history of you know, the public persona. People are not going to like this, and I don't know if it's going to make them change it, but people are not. There's not going to be one positive about this that I think from our sphere. I just don't see it being a positive thing at all.
Yeah, anytime you are taxing the common folk, it's kind of like the argument about taxing for to build stadiums or renovating stadiums. I know the big thing in Vegas was the hotel tax. At least it wasn't for locals. It was for visitors coming in. But anytime you are just adding those little charges, it adds up and starts to peeve people off.
It all adds up. And that's the juice is already punitive enough most days. I think the hardest thing for an average bettor to overcome is the juice, because everybody likes to live in the prop market and the Nerfy market, and those are expensive markets. They're derivative markets, a lot of them. So you're already paying a higher premium just to make the normal bets you want to make. Most people don't bet -110 sides and totals. Most people, the average Joe bettor, likes to bet props. Props are already 15-cent splits. Well, now it's going to be 18-cent splits because you're paying a 3% tax on every single bet. Big story this morning. You're going to continue to see this story evolve. And, oh, boy, when the calendar turns to 25 and people start getting these surcharges, right? Surge pricing, we call it when you're doing the Uber. It is not going to be a very popular situation for these books. But we'll see. Again, gambling continues to evolve here in this country, and this was another step in that direction yesterday. Tyler Shoemaker, always evolving, coming up next here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, hey, check it out. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Why? Because the College Football Betting Guide out now. Ultimate guide, ultimate resource for the upcoming season, including previews for every team, all 134 of them. A preseason top 25, power ratings, proven systems, and more. Sign up now. Receive both the College Football and NFL Betting Guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily Pro Picks 24/7 video. Exclusive data like our splits all the way through the Super Bowl at an early bird discount price of just $175. Or sign up for a monthly subscription. Get your first 30 days for only $19. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Don't miss out on these preseason deals. Sign up VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, onward we go here on A Numbers Game. It is Friday morning. I am Jared. Also, Wyatt is here with us. And now joining us via the Progressive Guest Line, he is Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN writer and creator of the T-Shoe Index. Always great to catch up with Tyler. Of course, you can follow him on X at T-Shoe Index. All right, Tyler, let's get down to business here. College Football Betting Guide out now. You've got a plethora of picks and predictions throughout. We'll get to Conference USA in a minute. I think that's kind of top of mind. But we had another one of your brethren on yesterday, Zachary Cohen. We were talking about the Missouri Tigers, and it seems like Missouri is kind of becoming this hot-button team in the SEC. We've seen a lot of love for the over. You are one of those people that like the over on Missouri. Zachary came on yesterday and believes the under is actually the better play. So I will give you the floor, sir. Wax poetic about the Missouri Tigers. Why is that over 9.5 wins one of your best bets here for the college football season?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have seen some resistance. A lot of people going to bet the under on Missouri, anticipating some regression on the defensive side of the ball, which I certainly understand, and I did account for in my numbers. I'm still pretty comfortably on the over, though. I mean, I've got them number 6 in the country in my power ratings. I mean, I'm projecting them right at 10 wins. And the other thing, obviously, I mean, the most important thing when you're considering any bet, the price is the ultimate deciding point. And the price, when you can get plus, you know, 130 or better on that over, that really puts me on there and makes it a best bet for me.
Yeah. So my initial gut was over on Missouri. And then everyone started to pile on that bandwagon. I'm like, okay, am I missing something here? Because it seems like it's a consensus overplay. And Zachary did make some really good points yesterday about the defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, of course, now at LSU. So, I am a little bit, I would say, hesitant to like shove all my chips into the middle, but I don't think I'm really excited about an under here because I do like the schedule and I do think they're going to start fast. And when I think a team's going to start fast, right, Tyler, if I think they're going to bank 4 wins, probably 5 wins in their first 6 games, I feel a little bit more confident coming off of Missouri later in the year, if that is the case. So I'm with you. I think over is the only way to bet it pre-flop, especially if you get a good plus money price. All right, let's go to Conference USA. You did a great job breaking down this conference in the College Football Betting Guide. The team at the top of the heap is Liberty. They were fantastic last year, did not lose a conference game. It looks like their schedule is relatively favorable again this year, but the win total is sky high. So what can you tell me about Liberty this year with a 10.5 win total and, again, a conference that they're odds on to win it before the season even starts?
Yeah, you're so kind saying that, you know, the schedule's not great. I think that's a very nice way to put it. I think Bill Connolly with SP Plus, I think pretty much everyone that has any type of predictive model has their schedule, you know, in the bottom three in the country, if not dead last, which is where I have them. I mean, their toughest game at Appalachian State, I still have them as a 2-point favorite in that game. So, you know, they potentially drop that. The interesting thing, though, you know, I project them right at 10 wins. I think everyone's going to be on this over just for the simple fact, like we said, their schedule is very, very bad. So I would not want to necessarily bet an under, even though my numbers indicate that's the mathematics side. I just, even if they lose at App State, I don't know that anyone in Conference USA is up to par to be able to beat Liberty this year.
Yeah, so the thing about Liberty that just makes them so tough is they play such a unique offense, and it's a conference that just doesn't have the athletes that can run with them. Like, they are so much stronger and bigger, faster. Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State are the other two teams that have high win totals in the conference this year. Jacksonville State's very intriguing. I believe Rich Rod's still the coach there. As they make their transition into FBS over the last couple of seasons. Is there anything in the middle tier that intrigues you? I mean, I know some of the teams at the bottom. I mean, some of the, you know, the UTEPs and the – I was on the UTEP over last year. I thought they were actually in a decent position to go bowling. I was totally wrong on that. But, you know, you got some really bad teams in this conference, which sometimes actually, you know, it's easier to handicap the teams that are going to be bad than the ones that are going to be good. But with that middle tier there, right, the Jacksonville States, the Louisiana Techs, the Western Kentuckys, the teams fighting for bowl eligibility, anything intrigue you there in the middle part?
Yeah, I mean, I think from an edge standpoint, Middle Tennessee over 5 at -115 is my biggest edge for my projections in Conference USA. So I would consider that. I project them at 5.4 wins. So that's a pretty solid bet there. I mean, their strength of schedule. I mean, obviously everyone in Conference USA strength of schedule is terrible because they all play each other. But Middle Tennessee, I mean, a -7.5 average opponent power rating. Wow. So I mean, they're playing a team. On average, that's a touchdown below FBS average. So, you know, very soft schedule. I like Middle Tennessee to go over.
Is Kennesaw, is it their first year in this conference? Were they in the conference last year, or is this one of the transitions for them?
This is their transition year. They're coming up from FCS. And they, you know, Jacksonville State last year, I don't think anyone really knew how to project them coming up from FCS. They had a great season. I don't think Kennesaw State is that. I've got them near the bottom of Conference USA, actually at the bottom, even below FIU. So I think it's going to be a rough transition year for them. I don't think they're going to have near the success that like a Jacksonville State had last year.
It's funny because when I was down working in Boca Raton at FAU, it was always FAU, FIU were kind of battling for that South Florida supremacy. One of those programs has ascended FAU to greater heights, where FIU, it seems like, over the last few years has continued to sink. Great stuff with Conference USA. All right, the College Football Playoff is going to be different this year, right? Expanded field, it changes the way that we view the odds. I do think there is some meat on the bone with some of these teams to make the College Football Playoff at plus money. You've got your Final Four set already. Do you want to go through it one by one? Ohio State at the top, is that your number one team? Or is it Georgia, Oregon, Texas being your four? How would you rank those, would you say, right now at this stage?
Yeah, so I do have Ohio State number one by just a half a point. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't argue if you wanted to put Georgia at number one. I think it's basically a pick 'em with those two. And I think those two are the clear top two within Oregon and Texas. You know, I do think Oregon is maybe just a little bit above where Texas is. You know, I had to kind of really give some benefit of the doubt and projection forward on Texas, whereas Oregon's numbers were very easy to come to a high power rating on them. You know, the interesting thing, though, like you mentioned with the 12-team playoff, you know, Ohio State and Oregon are now in the same conference. Georgia and Texas are now in the same conference. So only two of those four are going to be able to get a first round bye, which is going to make the playoff even more intriguing, I think.
Yeah, Tyler, have you struggled at all with the numbers this year? You know, you've been doing this for a while now. Obviously, when fields expand, I think college football and college basketball are the two toughest sports to rate just because of all the moving parts. And, of course, you do both of those exceptionally, so you probably have a lot of sleepless nights. But was it extra difficult this year because of the expanded field to try to wrap your arms around all these teams and try to – or is it just that, hey, college football changes all the time, my variables change, that's why we make manual adjustments with ratings?
So it was difficult. I wouldn't say because of the playoff expansion, because that's not something I'm factoring in as I'm rating the teams. But certainly when you look at, take a step back, look at the big picture of what the season might look like, that certainly impacts my analysis of it. But in terms of the ratings, it was difficult just because, I mean, we just with the transfer portal era, I mean, we just see so much movement and roster turnover year to year. You have to kind of sift through the noise and say, okay, this team's trending one way, but what did they do this offseason? Did they lose everyone? Did they bring in a huge portal class? You know, like an Ole Miss, you know, Ohio State even brought in a couple of transfers, which isn't typical for them. So, you know, trying to adjust for those type of things is probably the hardest part of it.
Yeah, so I rely on very smart people like you to help me with the ratings. I think where I'm at with the overall landscape of college football is just be comfortable being uncomfortable. Like you just have to accept the fact that all of the prior – you know, mental gymnastics that you would play when you're going through the season, like you just have to be willing to change. And there's a lot of people out there that have been doing this for a very long time that are not willing to change. And I think those are the handicappers that are going to have the most struggles. All right, so if you had to pick a national champion today, you were going with Ohio State. I know my producer Wyatt's probably going to be really upset
Ooh.
About that. He actually might want to chime in and give you some hate there. But are the Buckeyes the top choice heading into the season for you?
I think so. I mean, their non-conference schedule is atrocious. So, you know, they should easily start off 3-0 with an average margin of victory of about 50. their conference schedule actually, you know, they go to Oregon. Obviously, they got Michigan at home that they have to win. But I do think, I mean, if Ryan Day is ever going to get it done, I think it has to be this year with the team, with the guys they brought back. I think it has to be this year. I did wear my scarlet and gray today Wyatt. So, I mean, I can't wear the scarlet and gray and not pick Ohio State to win the national championship.
All right,
I thought we were friends,
Tyler. Floor, friend.
Thought we were friends. It hurts.
I love the draw. See, when these situations happen, the host just kind of sits back and lets the producer and guest just kind of battle it out, because I'm clean here. Penn State, we're going to finish third in this conference no matter what, although we might finish ahead of Michigan this year for the first time in Lord knows how long. Tyler Shoemaker, great stuff, pal. Love catching up with you.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Jared. See you.
We'll have more numbers game on the other side. I hope Penn State – it's ironic that I'm wearing actually Penn State blue today. You're wearing black. Maybe you're mourning the loss of Michigan season already early. All right, Wyatt, we'll come back on the other side. I'll let you rebuke the Ohio State love.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back here on VSiN. You can't see this on air, but every time we come back from break, producer Wyatt does some kind of toss to me to tell me that it's live. Do you want to show dramatization of what you just did?
Yeah,
to me?
I was just kind of getting the arrow back and then firing
to make sure that I'm on par. I appreciate it because usually I don't get anything. I'm just like, they're just like, go start talking.
There's a backstory to this. Matt Brown. This is back at the South Point days. Matt Brown, when I was producing the long shots,
sure.
He'd be like, yeah, I need you to have more, you know, a little pizzazz with the finger pointing to let me know we're back live. So I just do kind of.
That seems like a Matt Brown troll job right there.
It is.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do it for everybody.
Well, I appreciate you doing it for me because it gets me in the moment here. Thank you, Tyler Shoemaker. Great stuff as always. Of course, if you're not following him on X at T-Shoe Index, you need to. The reason why his stuff has been so good over the last year that we've been working with him here at the network is the numbers tell a story, right? That's one of the taglines of the show. I remember last year there were multiple occasions where his numbers were just very different than what the market was telling us. Sometimes he was right, sometimes he was wrong. But more often than not, he was right. And it's always fascinating to see how different models and different methods come to different conclusions. And Tyler has a very unique model. And again, that's why we employ him here at the network. That's why he's such a big part of the college football betting guide and all the betting guides, especially in the college sports realm. I think he's going to have a really good year in college football. And I think his numbers, even though they might be different than what maybe the consensus is, I think they deserve your attention.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I really like about Tyler is that he does numbers for a lot of different sports.
Amazing different but sports.
But one
all
of
all
them
the
that
he, WNBA is
yeah,
another big one. That's
one of them
huge.
That he does, because I'm a people don't know, I'm a play-by-play announcer for UNLV's women's basketball team. He does a bunch of women's basketball as well. So I'm always curious to see what he does there, and hopefully he's giving my Lady Rebels a little love. But it's
no,
cool.
No, the numbers are they know no bias. Yeah, no. They're just numbers.
But I like guys who do those niche sports that not a lot of people bet. You know, and it's I think it can help out new bettors who are interested in betting the WNBA now, like with the boom of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And then for Tyler, probably he's like, I'm able to kind of beat the books on a couple numbers. So I
absolutely, when you're in those sports, you are going to have good situations, I think.
So I like that. You know, anybody that, you know, obviously anybody can handicap football, basketball, baseball, but like I respect the people like
baseball is a lot tougher. I don't know. I think NFL and NBA are the two sports that anyone can handicap. Because they're just so obvious a lot of times. And well, I leave it at this. Not everyone can handicap it. Everyone can talk about it.
Exactly.
Everyone can talk about it and sound like they know how to handicap it.
Like the fun sports like a UFC, tennis with Gil, NASCAR, you know, stuff like that. People who do that, I really respect it because it's a unique sport and you can tell the passion's there.
Sure. I always tell people that you should have a calendar. I have a calendar. I literally have a calendar. I'm a big Excel nerd. I literally have a calendar, and it kind of points me in the direction of what I should be paying attention to during different parts of the year. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of events going on. Now, some of it's instinctual, like when we get to March, what's coming? Like March Madness. Like you don't need a calendar for that. But some of the events, like you mentioned, are more niche. Like I don't know off the top of my head always when the WNBA season starts. Like I have to kind of be pointed in that direction. I don't always know what weekend the U.S. Open is in golf. Like, it changes. You know, I kind of know when the Masters is, but those are events where it's like, oh, it's Masters week. I need to really start paying attention to golf now. And I know if you really want to bet it, you probably should be paying attention to it weeks, months earlier. But you get the point. There's certain spots of the calendar where there are events happening that are not the Super Bowl when you know when it is. And I recommend everyone, obviously everybody wants to bet the NFL. And we'll get to some NFL talk in just a minute here on the preseason. But the NFL only happens, what, you would say on average 10% of the year? Because there's only NFL games once or twice a week, even during the season. And then in the offseason, there's no games.
I can't remember where
So of the days of the year, 365, how many days are there really football? 50, 100?
Yeah. Like I can't remember where I saw it on X, but somebody did like a little graph about how long the seasons are and compared to the offseason.
Cool.
Like
I'd be interested in looking at that graph.
The NFL, the season is so short.
It's very short. It's only played 1 day a week.
Yeah, so it's September to maybe first week in January now, and then that's it.
That's it. And you play 1 day a week, and I know that now they're branching out to different days, but on average you're playing at maximum 3 days a week. It's not even half the week. Mm-hmm. So it's not like baseball where it's every stinking day minus the All-Star break. It's a very different vibe. I recommend everyone, if you're a big like, let's say you only bet the NFL. Like, I only like watching the NFL. That's fair. But if you really like to bet, you need to branch out because there's just so much else out there. Variety is the spice of life. I certainly recommend. And how about the preseason? There's a lot of people out there, and I've had this conversation with people that they view the preseason like it's taboo. Why am I betting the preseason? The games don't matter. Well, you're not wrong, but there's a lot of scenarios where the games don't matter, but we're still betting. Like, for the most part, baseball games don't matter most days, and we're still betting on them. They're one of 162. It's a drop in the bucket. But the reason why the preseason, I think, is a viable betting option, for a number of reasons, and actually I credit our pal Bill Krakenberger, who posted an article about this on Crack Wins recently, I believe it was yesterday, in advance of the Bears opening the season against the Texans yesterday in the preseason. So he gave five different reasons, I guess more guidelines for things you should be paying attention to during the preseason and reasons why you should bet it. The biggest reason, the number one reason, why, if your opinion on the preseason is it should change, it's because the lines are better. You're getting a better price. There's not as much attention. there's a lot more information that moves the market. And when information moves the market, it's more signal than noise. And what I mean by that is when you're getting a market move based off of ratings, based off of opinions, it is more of, we think this is where the number should be, we're betting it here. When you get a market move based off of a quarterback not playing or this player being announced in or this many snaps for this player, concrete information, that market move is legit. Like, it's not noise, it's signal. And that's why I think the preseason does offer value. Now, you've got to do your homework. It's not just going to fall down, you know, from a tree and just land in your lap. You've got to do the work. Here's where you have to do the work. Coaches and quarterbacks. You should know, if you want to bet the preseason, you should know who the third and fourth string quarterbacks are. You should know who the offensive coordinator is, how aggressive he is. Is he a guy that's going to let the fourth string quarterback go berserk, like Brett Rippon last night, who looked like Mark Rippon? Like, just, he looked fantastic. Well, there's a reason for that. First of all, I think they wanted to put on a little bit of a show, and I think they had the personnel for it last night. But you had two offensive coordinators yesterday that were willing to let it rip, especially on the Texans. Bobby Slowick, I mean, he might be one of the sharpest minds in the game right now. So you need to know who the coordinators are. I'm not as worried about the head coaches. I think those head coaches' profiles kind of speak for themselves. But the offensive and defensive coordinators need to be top of mind when you are betting a preseason game. The third and fourth string quarterbacks need to be top of mind when you are betting a preseason game. Study the coaches. What have they done? Where are the offensive coordinators coming from? Are they new offensive coordinators? Are they trying to implement a system? Are they willing to open things up? The answer with Bobby Slowick last night was a resounding yes. Same with Shane Waldron. Both of those guys were very willing to open up the playbooks and air it out. The talent was average, right? Like, I mean, I don't think we're all going to go crazy about the quarterback talent running around the field last night. Although I will say Bajent, you know, had a nice little run last year. And Davis Mills, it was a starter in this league for a number of years, too. But those guys are obviously, I would say, mid-tier backups. You know, I think there's better backups. Like, for example, when the Jets play with Tyrod Taylor, I don't know how much run he'll get, but he's probably the best backup in the league, one of. So I'm interested in the Jets if Taylor's going to play the whole half. I don't know if he's going to. We'll find out that information once we get closer to the Jets' first game, but I know Aaron Rodgers ain't going to play. So you can already cross him off the list, and you can already move on from that. The other thing to keep in mind when you're betting the preseason is these numbers move a lot. Once the information drops, the numbers move a lot, which gives you a chance to middle. Do you want a middle? Do you not want a middle? How big is your bet? These are all things that you need to consider in the preseason. Because I think the baseline response of, no value, not interested, it's just not accurate. Any response? Are you betting the preseason this year, Wyatt?
No, because I don't know. It's,
don't say there's no value.
I want to say no value. It just doesn't pique my interest.
That's a fair response to why people don't bet the preseason. It doesn't interest me.
You know,
don't bet something you're not interested in.
I'm more worried about, as a Packer fan, all right, well, how are the rookies going to look? You know, last year, how's Jordan Love going to look with the ones? That's kind of what the big thing I'm worried about.
All right, how about some wild card bets? Things were getting wild in the NFL last year. We'll see how the seeding pricing looks for this season. That's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do you like betting on horses? If the answer to that question is yes, go to VSiN.com right now. Why? Saratoga Del Mar picks for today. Mike Somich. I love Mike Somich's content. He's one of the sharpest handicappers in the business on the horse racing side. Obviously does a lot of other things very well, too. But he has some really interesting stuff up for Saratoga. If you're interested in getting involved today, we've got UFC on the site as well. NFL preseason, scouting the depth charts. Matt Eumanns, thank you very much for that. Zachary Coleman, Olympic basketball. It's all available to you at VSiN.com. All right, we are back here on a Friday. Jared and Wyatt in for Gil and Kelly here on A Numbers Game. Let's get to some more NFL handicapping. I'm I'm excited to get involved in the preseason. I'm not going to be betting it as much as I will the regular season. But I made a bet last night, was on the over. Shout out Klepp TA, nailed that number. We got about 2 points of closing line value on it, and it all went down the drain once the game got banged there. But I am going to be involved in the preseason. I'm probably going to be putting out quarterback depth charts for each game in some capacity. Not every game, but the games I'm betting on, I'll probably be putting out some of that information. Just because I do think it's a departure from my norm. I have not been a preseason bettor over the last few years. I have been in the Wyatt Tomchek camp, which is I'm just waiting and I'm lying in the weeds, hanging around, waiting for the regular season. I think I'm going to be a little bit more proactive this year because I do think it might help me with week one. It might. It might not. We'll see. We're going to try it this year. We're going to bet a little bit more preseason football. But I want to pivot to the postseason because obviously that's the end of the rainbow where these teams are trying to accomplish here. And Wyatt, you put together a nice little segment describing the wild card seed. It's not a market that I've seen posted yet. Obviously, the new wild card format is relatively new, and we are still trying to figure out how to price these teams properly. So each conference has their own set of wild card seed markets. Do you want to kind of fill me in on your thought process here when we were cooking this thing up?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, open up DraftKings and just kind of find the kind of cool markets that could get a good conversation.
Yeah, a lot of different ones this year.
Yeah. Like yesterday we had a good conversation of who would have more regular season wins between college football teams, and you landed on Clemson.
Clemson over Missouri.
Yeah, Clemson over Missouri. So I thought this was interesting because you can look at this and say, all right, I'm not high on a team to win the division. Say you're not high on the Lions to win the division, but you don't think that they're going to miss the playoffs or whatnot. Or, you know, if they're – say to make the playoffs for the Lions is minus 140, minus 150. Well, these wild card seeds, is to say for the Lions to get a wild card seed, is plus 225. There's more value to find, you know, to kind of beat the market a little bit here.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find the Bears are the first one that comes to mind, right? The Bears are odds on to make the playoffs. And the Bears are a prime example of this, right? So the Bears are plus 215 to get a wild card seed, but they're minus 115 to make the playoffs. Well, let's do the math here. They've got two teams ahead of them in the win total market in their own division, Green Bay and Detroit. So they're probably not going to win the division, right? They're plus 275 to win the division. Now, I'm not a math genius. I can't put those odds together in my head and figure out if there's value there. I don't know if there is. So if there isn't, chill with the angry tweets towards me this morning. But if you do want to tweet it to show something constructive, at Jared Lee Smith at VSiN Live, I will read it. But off the top of my head, the Bears plus 215 makes sense because I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't think they're good enough to win the division. But that means you're getting 2-1 on them to make the playoffs. If you can eliminate them winning the division and say that's not a scenario that I see playing out, but they're odds on to make the playoffs. So obviously the market thinks they're still going to be in the field, but you're getting plus 215 for them to be a wild card seed. Now, again, I don't know if the math checks out. It probably doesn't. But that's a bet I'd be willing to make because I do think the Bears are a team that should be in the playoffs this year, especially with the talent. The floor, I think, is higher for Chicago than maybe we think.
Well, first we get Ohio State love. Now we get Chicago Bears love. Man, you guys are just, trying to – this is why I'm wearing the black today.
No, right, your morning. Well, let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about the Packers in this market because the Packers feels like an opposite scenario. Right, the Packers, if I pull up their playoff odds, are minus 155. But I don't even see them on the front page here in this market because they're probably very far down the list.
No, they're 220.
They're right at the top. Yeah. Wow, it's Friday. Excuse me, guys. Excuse me.
As I say, I think I did the graphic right.
Wow, no, you did the graphic right. I just totally blanked on that. So let's talk it out the same way. The Bears and the Packers are pretty much priced the same. Like plus 215, plus 220. There's really no difference there. But obviously, the playoff market is significantly different. You go from minus 115 to minus 155. That is a big jump in odds to make the playoffs. Well, the division odds is where you have to kind of use your qualifier here. How much stronger do you feel about the Packers to win the division than the Bears? Is it significant? Oh. If it is significant, then you should not be betting the wild card market. Oh, you should not be betting the wild card market.
I would say just if I'm throwing out my bias, yeah, I'd be more more confident in Green Bay because we saw Green Bay go to Dallas last year, destroy the Cowboys, came oh so close to beating the Niners at their place to make the NFC Championship game. Jordan Love played phenomenal. Obviously, the big question mark, can Jordan Love translate those last, you know, 8 to 9 games in the regular season, those couple postseason games, and continue on down the line here to keep that lineage of great Green Bay Packers quarterbacks. So that's the big thing. For the Bears right now, their big question mark, they put around a great team. This is the best number one pick team that I can remember. Yeah. But it's just, is Caleb Williams the guy? Because they've got talented receivers. The defense played so well down the stretch there. But I would just say Green Bay because we saw what they did in the playoffs and how much noise they made.
Yeah. I don't think Green Bay is going to win the division this year. I don't. I feel much stronger about Detroit.
Do you think? But
I think Detroit's the best team in that division.
I don't think
it's close.
I have a ton of respect for the Lions, Dan Campbell. But do you think there might be a chance that heartbreaking loss that they had in the NFC Championship game?
No.
Translates over?
I think if there's any team that is equipped for that, it's Detroit. I think Detroit. If I was going to make a power ratings for mental toughness, if I was going to rank the teams based off of how mentally tough they are, I think I would put Detroit 1. I honestly do. I think I would put Detroit 1. I think Philly would be up there. I think Kansas City would be up there. But I think Detroit would be 1. Maybe Kansas City would be 2. A close 2. But I think Detroit, because of their coach, because of the city they play in, because of all the hottest fire forges the strongest steel. I am convinced in this lifetime, I only get one life in this body. Who knows what I'll be in the next life. But struggling and overcoming adversity is the true test of a champion. I am not a fan of seeing people succeed for their entire lives and never face adversity. I feel like you've only tapped into one side of your being. You have to have negative things happen to you in life in order for you to become your strongest, your best self. And I think Detroit is going through that right now. I think the talent is there. I think the scheme is there with Ben Johnson. Defensively, there's a little bit of meat on the bone. I think Aaron Glenn and that defense can obviously make some improvements. But there is no zero doubt in my mind that they are the best team, top to bottom, nose to toes, physical, mental, spiritual, all of that, in that division. I would not bet anyone else to win that division. The only other team I would consider is Minnesota because you're getting 10-1. And that is obviously more of a price bet than do I think they have win equity. I think Minnesota's better than people think. I think the roster's better than people think. I think the quarterback situation is why everyone's down.
Yeah, I've heard you talk high praise about J.J. McCarthy. I think you got a tattoo on your left.
Yeah, no. J.J.'s not the guy this year. If the Vikings are going to win this year, it's going to be because Sam Darnold plays to the high end of his expectation.
Real quick, one thing I did notice I want to get your opinion on. You know, we were talking about the NFC South yesterday. If you look down at this market, you got the Bucks, Saints, and Falcons, but all three at plus 450. The Panthers are plus 800. The market is saying, really, the NFC South is really going to be a one bid league.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. The NFC South, I think, is the most intriguing division. I think the NFC South this year, and if you're asking me, is there a bet to make in this market, I would consider the Packers at plus 220 because, again, I feel significantly stronger about the Lions winning the division than the Packers. Like, I do not see anyone in that division winning it besides Detroit. Like, I would be genuinely shocked if the Lions do not repeat in that division this year. I think Green Bay will be around the mix. Like, they're going to be near the punch bowl, but I don't know if they're going to be the team that drinks from it at the end of the day. Like, I do think the Lions are the team to beat in that division. So, yeah, I would be willing to bet the Bears. I'd be willing to bet the Packers at plus, you know, $2 to make a wild card seed. Lions, no. I think the Lions are the division champs this year, so I don't see why they are at the top of this market. But a good, interesting derivative market to look at this year, if you feel really passionately about a team winning the division and you think there is a bid available, I do think this is an intriguing market to get involved in. I don't know if the math is mathing, but if you like that vibe, I think it certainly makes sense. All right, hour number 2, numbers game on the other side.